Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And today is a live prophecy reality edition. We are in YouTube jail, I guess, because the YouTube stream is not working. I put a link in there to the DLive stream, so I thought my jail time was up after a week. Yeah. But I guess it's not up yet. But see, I'm not on YouTube, so I don't even have to be careful about what I say. I was trying to think of code words I could use to say certain things, but I guess we have to come up with a code word language. It was making me think about how John wrote the Revelation, and Paul said some things in 2 Thessalonians that he couldn't quite say out loud because, the enemy might read it and take it in another way or something. But anyway, we are live today, and we're going to talk about whatever we want to talk about. I was going to talk a little bit about the millennium, if you got the posting there that I sent out, and you already know that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about the millennium as I'm going through the Revelation and writing an exposition on the Revelation. Getting a few more details that will clue us in as to, you know, whether it's to be taken literally or not. So, yeah, DLive. If you want to watch this this broadcast, it's live on DLive, and I'm also recording it. So maybe I'll post it. It should be out of YouTube jail sometime in the next 24 hours. I was hoping it would be in time for the broadcast, but and then if they put me in jail again, it'll be for 2 weeks. And then after that, if they put me in jail again, then it's, you know, it's three strikes, you're out. You don't even get to come back for another game. You know, it's not even like baseball, but kind of like it is, but three strikes, you're out. If you say the truth that they don't want you to reveal, and you know, I don't know why, when things turn out the way that they're turning out, and if what we've learned from, where's that link at? Oh yeah, from the forecast at Deagle.com, and how the U.S., it's not me saying this, and I'm reporting the truth. The truth is, I don't know what's going to happen, but there is this forecast on Deagle.com that the population of the United States is going to be reduced to 99 million by 2025. And you go, wow, that seems so unbelievable, because it's only 2021. The population, you know, it's taken us 200 years to get up to 330 million people on this land here. And now to say that that's going to drop by two-thirds by 2025 seems outrageous. It really does. But from what I heard last week, and you should check this out if you can. I spread this around on some of the social media out there. The Monday broadcast from True News, and that would be the 15th of this month, 3:15 broadcast on YouTube. They had, what's the guy's name? Let me see. I've got it here somewhere. If you can say that. Oh, yes. Geert Vandenbosch came on. He's a vaccine expert. He even worked for the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. This guy is not an anti-vaxxer by any stretch of the imagination. Anyway, they covered him on True News, and they did a good job of covering it and explaining it. That's why I would... but they also... Geert Vandenbosch... had an interview on another channel, which, as I see, because I looked it up on YouTube and it was taken down, but somebody put it back up one day ago and it got 13,000 views, and another one 6 days ago. That was only a clip of it. So I guess the original has been taken down. There is one up there. So if you put this guy's name in, Geert Van den Bosch, you might want to search this for yourself. Let me put his name in the chat room here so anyone can check him out for themselves. So if you do a search on this guy, he did a video. It's called Why Should the COVID-19 Vaccines Not Be Used for a Pandemic or During a Pandemic, something like that. So, seems like I can listen, but I have to forego the chat. I don't know what that means, Patrick. But anyway, welcome to the chat room there, the few people that are in there. I lost a whole hour because they changed the clocks again this weekend, and my brain just isn't functioning correctly to get up an hour earlier now, even though the clock says it's an hour past the time that I was getting up. It's hard for me to change my internal clock. Harder for me to change my internal clock than to change the clock on the wall. So anyway, there's a link up there to DLive if you want to watch the broadcast live, and I will post this later, as soon as I'm out of YouTube jail, and then they'll probably take me off for 2 weeks and then get rid of my YouTube channel. I don't know why I have so few listeners. I don't know why they care about me. It must be somebody complaining that's, bringing, hey, look, this guy, he gets 100 views. You should take his videos down. While there are other people out there saying, telling much more of the same truth than I am, they're getting, tens of thousands of views in a few days, or even a couple million views in a few days that aren't getting theirs taken down. But eventually they will. I guess YouTube's just having a hard time giving up all those free listeners they're getting from these videos. And another thing I've noticed on social media is, I go on Twitter and I post stuff, but I never spend any time on Twitter because, I don't know, it just doesn't work for me. But I do spend a little time on the other one, Facebook. And it seems that nobody is, I'd say for every 10 people that are downing the vax, maybe one is upholding it, and there's a kind of official one or two that are saying go get the vax. So it seems like they're not even winning on their own platforms as far as keeping control of the information. So all I have to say to all those people that love the truth out there, keep up the good work, and perhaps we can beat them down with the truth. We don't want to beat them down any other way. With carnal weapons. But the truth, yeah, that's our weapon. That's the weapon that we have. And it's more powerful than all their other weapons. Otherwise, they, as when the Antichrist had his overt rule for 1260 years, the more people he killed speaking the truth, well, the more people showed up to take their place. The Antichrist would kill one, and 10 more would pop up. They'd kill 100, and 1,000 more would pop up. You see how that works? Because we have something that, the world can't give us, and that is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So, and we prize that more than we prize anything that the world has to offer. But it is amazing. Now, I did hear of one ruler of, I forget what country it was, you could probably look this up, but I heard that he was offered $180 million to put his, it's Maratura or some weirdly named small country. Anyway, he said that he was offered $180 million to put his little state on lockdown and quarantine and all that social distancing and masking stuff, but he said he refused. So I just heard this. I'm not sure how much truth there is to it, but I know there are states that didn't go on lockdown, even here in the United States. So, CCF says, I'm not listening to the show, just in the chat room. I don't know what that means. There's a DLive link there to if you want to watch the video of the live broadcast, because I am on the air. I'm just in YouTube jail, okay? Because my last broadcast last week, somebody complained and they accused me of medical misinformation when I wasn't reporting any medical information. I played part of a video that was on another YouTube channel, but I think that video is actually gone, unfortunately. Yeah. Anyway, the link's in my last week's posting there. You might want to check that out, but I know some of the videos are gone. I do have a channel, or say we do have a channel. First Amendment Radio has a channel on BitChute, and I should have a link to that on First Amendment Radio homepage, but I don't, because I don't have time to keep up with all that web stuff, too. Let's see. Yeah. Yeah. I know our audio is working. So, okay, so what else are we going to talk about today? Yes, indeed. Let me check my... I was going to talk about the 1,000 years. And that was a post that I put up. Let's see. Let me find that posting there. The 1,000 years. Is it literal or not? That's because I'm in chapter 20 of my exposition on the Revelation. And that's where this comes from, which will be in the book that I'm going to publish. I'm also going to take this exposition and do it on the air. I'm thinking maybe, you know, I got maybe 35, 40 years left until Christ comes, if I can live through that. And I perhaps need to write an exposition and then do an audio version of every book in the Bible. Think I could do that? In 20, 35 years, 20, whatever, however much time I have left. Sometimes I think, well, I'm reaching the point where in 2023, I will have reached my 70. Okay? Yeah. 70. I hate to give my age away. But I will be 70 years old in 2023. So that's not far off. Yeah. And so if I'm able to stick around till the Lord comes, about 2055, somewhere around there, the seventh millennium will begin. One thing I've been learning from all my research into prophecy and history and the history of apocalyptic interpretation is that every time some event happened, it seemed that people got the idea that the sixth millennium was about to end. They would guess that they were, or somehow think that it was true that they were near the end of the sixth millennium. Now, I'm pretty sure we are today. It's not like, even in the first century, the first and second century, there were authors and people who wrote on the apocalypse that thought they were near the end of the sixth millennia. Even some of the Pharisees and some of the Hebrew people in the first century believed that they were coming to the end of the sixth millennium, which meaning, you know, looking back on it from here, from our perspective, some 2,000 years later, going, yeah, well, I know we're closer now. How could they have got it so wrong? But man, there's a lot of confusion out there, and people are easily confused, and they didn't have the tools. I have to admit that I have a great advantage over those in the first, second, and second centuries. I have a great advantage. I have the internet, and I can read what they wrote, and I have the Bible clearly spelled out with tools for the Greek and the Hebrew, and I can peer into the original language. Even not being a Greek scholar or Hebrew scholar, I can peer more easily into the original languages than the scholars could 100 years ago. And I read, you know, like Matthew Henry and E.B. Eliot and some of these other scholars and many other scholars over the last few, from the 18th and 19th centuries. And I read what they wrote and how much in depth it is and how good their work was. And I just go, wow, man, they had to spend a lot of time looking at poorly printed products and many books and many pages and many hours reading by candlelight to do what they did. But they did it. Yeah. So we got it made now as far as being able to research and read and look into, you know, even the original text is, for me, not being a Greek or Hebrew scholar, is easier than it was for the Greek and Hebrew scholars of 100 or 200 years ago. It's amazing. So yes, it should be easier for us if we can give up scrolling on our, doing this. You see them sitting around doing this. Yeah, scrolling on their devices. That's something that I can't do. I won't do internet on my phone. Besides, my eyes aren't as good as they used to be. That's why I have these glasses on for reading. Yeah. Anyway, I posted this, and the post is called The 1,000 Years, Literal or Not. Okay. Revelation 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on that dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So we have here the binding of Satan for 1,000 years, in which he should deceive the nations no more. The power of Satan was broken in part at the first century. Now this goes to what the amillennials believe, the various camps of amillennials. I'm starting to understand the various camps of amillennialism much better too, with all my research and study. But the power of Satan was broken in part at the first century by the setting up of the gospel kingdom in the world. And see, that's what they like to say. Oh, Jesus broke the power of Satan, but not so that he doesn't deceive the nations anymore. That's where they miss it. They want to say that, yeah, Jesus broke the power of Satan, and he did, in part. His power was broken at the first century by setting up of the gospel kingdom in the world, the church that Jesus said that he would build. You remember Jesus said, I will build my church? And he has been building his church ever since the 70th week. He started there in Israel for the final week, the 70th week that Daniel told us about. And then, after the 70th week ended, the Hebrew Christians were amazed when they saw that the Gentile Christians, you know, those of the other nations, started to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That was because the 70th week was done, and the gospel was now going to the nations. See, during the 70th week, it was pretty much exclusive to Israel. And you can read about that. You could read about that in my book, or figure it out for yourself by reading through the Gospels even, and put the pieces together. Okay, so the power of Satan was broken in part in the first century by setting up of the gospel kingdom in the world, the church that Jesus said that he would build. It has been further reduced at various epochs in various temporal kingdoms, tolerating or even becoming Christian. And we know those don't always last. We have things that are established as Christian, university, governments, but they always degrade because evil men are in the world. And evil men seek power and money and riches and governments and universities are one way to attain these things. So they always get in and corrupt something that began as a good thing. And even, I have to admit, Christians can be corrupted. And some repent, and some were only Christians nominally, in name only. So we have it further reduced, the power of Satan being further reduced at various epochs and various temporal kingdoms, tolerating or becoming Christian. It was yet further broken by the termination of the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist. But still, the serpent has several heads, and when one is wounded, another has life remaining in it. And we know this is true. The scripture plainly says that one of his heads were wounded, as it were, to death. And I believe that would denominate the end of the 1260-year reign of the Antichrist, when that head wounding took place in history. But we see that the serpent has several other heads and life remaining in it. So much so that head that was wounded, as it were, to death, meaning it didn't really die, but it was healed later. It appeared to be a deadly wound. As a matter of fact, by 1870, it seemed that it had been terminated altogether. But even during that space of time, we see that the shadow government that had been developed, which I'm going through during the week, my regular broadcast at this same hour on FirstAmendmentRadio.net. We're going again. I'm replaying the series I did on the shadow government that rules the world for the Antichrist. So you might want to check that out. I started it Monday. It's going to run, I think, 2 weeks. Or is it one? I forget. I think it just runs 1 week. I may run it 2 weeks in a row, just because the information is a lot to take in, and people need to understand. But anyway, so we see that the shadow government working behind the scenes, even during that time, and even in America, if you've read the book, F. Tupper Saucy's book, Rulers of Evil, well, you would know this. That's right. And if you want to get a copy of F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil, you can get a PDF. It's a banned book. You can't buy a new copy. They're not printing anymore. Even on Amazon, the owners of the copyright, since F. Tupper Saucy is dead, I guess the owners of the copyright have control of it, and they're not allowing it to be published by anyone or reprinted anywhere. So it's pretty much a banned book. But if you go to my website at crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, you'll see the Bible study tab there, I believe it is. Yeah, the Bible study tab there. And there's some resources there. It says Prophecy Classics. I threw it in there, and you'll see it at the bottom on that page, a link to look at the PDF of that. You can download it there, keep it. Even print it out if you want. Okay, we're going into a break. We'll pick back up with our 1,000 years when we return from these messages. You're listening to Across the Border. Don't go anywhere.
Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust, I will not be afraid. Behold, God is my strength.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The book of Revelation says, "The spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ." This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and my name's Nicholas, and this is a live Prophecy Reality edition. And we were talking about, oops, looks like I've lost my page here. Yeah, let me go back. Oh yes, there it is. Okay, yeah, we're talking about the 1,000 years. And what's the importance of 1,000 years? What difference does it make, people might think? Most people are worried about whether they're just going to go to heaven when they die. I think a better understanding of the itinerary that the Bible lays out for us is better for our faith. It's better to understand rather than just have some foggy idea of going to heaven when you die. And I guess most people picture floating on clouds playing harps or something. You know, at least maybe that's the way the world sees it. And they think, that doesn't sound like any fun to me. It's never what I thought. Well, hey guys, let's go out tonight. Let's see if we can find a place to float and play harps just for the fun of it. Right? Yeah. That's not even really attractive. Nobody's looking for that place. But now, how about a place where you can rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years and never get sick again, never die, never have to worry about death, because nobody will be able to kill you, because you're going to be resurrected in a resurrected body, that like Christ was resurrected in, and you're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years on the earth that we know. See, because we will actually inherit the earth. We will inherit it. The inheritance is going to last 1,000 years. But see, the best part about that is that we only get to inherit this earth, this creation, for 1,000 years. But after that, there's a new heaven and new earth that we will join in an eternal state. And that is going to go beyond whatever we think we could desire or want in the eternal realm. I mean, we can hardly imagine it. Okay? But why is it important to know what's going to happen? I think it's good for our faith. Like what Sam Storms is selling us with his personal brand of amillennialism is the amillennial intermediate state. Okay, and he says the 1,000 years represents what happens to a Christian when he dies. He goes spiritually to be with Jesus and rule with Jesus in the spiritual realm over this temporal earth that everyone else that hasn't died yet is living in. And that's, to him, that's the millennium. And it's been going on. Some people who died early on, I guess they're really for more than 1,000 years with Jesus already. And those that are dying at the end of the millennium, we get to rule, what, 40 or 50 years? Because we were dead all the rest, or we hadn't been born yet. That's kind of like being dead. You didn't exist for the first 1,800 years of the amillennial intermediate kingdom. Yeah, I'm not going with that. Okay? So anyway, back to our text here. So we have here the binding of Satan for 1,000 years, in which he should deceive the nations no more. The power of Satan was broken in part at the first century by setting up of the gospel kingdom in the world, the church that Jesus said that he would build. It has been further reduced at various epochs and in various temporal kingdoms, tolerating or becoming Christian. It was yet further broken by the termination of the 1260-year reign of Antichrist. But still, the serpent has several heads, and when one is wounded, another has life remaining in it. So here we have a further limitation and diminution of his power. Observe, one, to whom this work of binding Satan is committed, to an angel from heaven. It is very probable that this angel is no other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The description of him will hardly agree with any other. He is one who has power to bind the strong man armed, to cast him out, to spoil his goods, and therefore must be stronger than he. The means he makes to use in this work, he has a chain and a key, and a great chain to bind Satan, and the key of the prison in which he is to be confined. Christ never wants proper powers and instruments to break the power of Satan, for he has the powers of heaven and the keys of hell. The execution of this work, he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan. Neither the strength of the dragon nor the subtlety of the serpent was sufficient to rescue him out of the hands of Christ. He caught hold and kept his hold, and he cast him into the bottomless pit, cast him down with force and with a just vengeance to his own place and prison, from which he had been permitted to break out and disturb the churches and deceive the nations. Now he is brought back to that prison, and there laid in chains. He is shut up, and a seal set upon him. Christ shuts, and none can open. He shuts by his power, he seals by his authority, and his lock and seal even the devils themselves cannot break open. We have the term of the confinement of Satan, 1,000 years, after which he was to be loosed again for a little season. And that paragraph here, there we have from Matthew Henry. So, like I said, going back into our historical interpretation and historicist, definitely. I continue. But before we move on, we must answer to what some suggest, saying that the 1,000 years is meant to be taken only as figurative for an undetermined period of time. And they cite, invariably, Psalm 50, verse 10. Quote, "And every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And they say, see, you know, there 1,000 is used figuratively. And so, therefore, because it's used figuratively there, we get to say that it's figurative here in Revelation 20. I looked at this scripture, and because I read this, and I've studied Psalms, and I came to a different conclusion. I never thought of this, the 1,000 in Psalm 50:10 being figurative. I thought it was literal when I read it. So I would ask this question. How many a thousand hills are there on the whole earth? Yeah. How many a thousand hills are there on the whole earth? See, any group of 1,000 hills with cattle on them is 1,000 hills. And you could go on every group of 1,000 hills that has cattle on the whole earth, and it can be taken literally that way. And it should be taken literally. So any group of 1,000 hills with cattle on them is more of a poetic way of saying that all of the cattle are the Lord's, and that without requiring the 1,000 to be figurative for anything other than what is meant in the literal sense. So I believe the comparison to be specious. Actually, they have nothing. I'm going, is this really all they have? Even if that was being used figuratively there in the Psalms to say that all the cattle are the Lord's, they're going to use that to throw out the plain meaning of Revelation chapter 20? It's not enough. Let us also consider the word thousand, pronounced kilioi in the Greek. Kilioi is used in this chapter 6 times in the original text. Our Strong's Concordance offers a brief interpretation. And I posted this a couple weeks ago, I believe, that someone challenged me and saying, look, the Strong says that kilioi is of uncertain affinity. Therefore, it's not 1,000. You don't know what it is. Now, that's a total misunderstanding. I told her, there is no amillennial scholar who would even use this argument. So I answer the argument completely here. Okay. Our Strong's Concordance offers a brief interpretation. It says, plural of uncertain affinity, 1,000, unquote. So wherever kilioi appears with a prefix of certain affinity, such as 7,000, the prefix being hepta in the Greek, indicates how many thousands. It's only of uncertain affinity if there's no number prefixed to it. And that's why it says it. It doesn't mean that the word kilioi is of uncertain affinity. It is only of uncertain affinity if there is no prefix attached to it, such as a number. Let me continue. So, wherever kilioi appears with a prefix of certain affinity, such as 7,000, and you can check this out through the whole New Testament, which I did. Okay, that's my job. I'm supposed to do that, right? So such as 7,000, the prefix being Hepta, in this case, meaning seven, indicates how many thousands. A numerical prefix appears accordingly wherever the number of thousands is two or more. Another peculiarity to be noted is that never do we see the primary numeral, heis, in the Greek, or one, prefixed to kilioi in the original text anywhere in the New Testament. But when appearing alone, without a prefix of any certain affinity, or with the definite article preceding the thousand, it is understood as singular everywhere, and should also be understood as such in this chapter. That is to say, that the thousand years in context should be taken in no other way than a literal thousand years. And I don't believe the amillennials have a case to stand on. I don't see it. All they have is like dispensational futurists. All they have is hypothesis and conjecture. They have nothing else in the entire scripture. I hate to say that, because a lot of those that believe and try to uphold amillennialism are my Reformed brethren in the Church of God, in Christ's Church. But I would be willing to debate any of them, the most scholarly of them, anywhere, anytime, on the question of amillennialism versus premillennialism. And the different monikers only denote where Christ returns. Does he return before the millennium? Well, if we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years, he better return before the millennium. It better be premillennial. Otherwise, the book is wrong. Yeah, that's all there is to it. If Jesus does not return and we do not rule and reign with him on the earth, declared, precisely and explicitly that it is, that rule and reign is on the earth. And I listened to a video. I was doing a little more research, and I was listening to a video where it was, I believe it was Sam Storms that said, he went to Revelation chapter 20, and he said, and thrones were set up, and they ruled and reigned with Christ. He says, those thrones always denote spiritual. That's why he has you in a millennial intermediate state ruling with Christ. But see, there's a problem here. What state are you in? An amillennial intermediate state between where you're ruling with Christ before the resurrection, before the bodily resurrection? So you're resurrected spiritually first, but what about, is Jesus just a shadowy, ghostly figure floating in heaven right now? I thought the scripture says that when we see him, we would be like him. When I see him, I will be like him. And if he has a body, and he's not just some ethereal, in some ethereal, amillennial spiritual state before the physical resurrection, if he's not in that, then why would I be in that? If I'm going to be like him, I'm going to be bodily resurrected. So I see some holes there in Sam Storm's interpretation of the amillennial intermediate state, that we're ruling in heaven with Jesus, kind of floating on clouds. No, I want to know when I die, when my sister died in the 1980s, and because she was a woman of strong faith. She was perfect by no means, none of us are, but she was a woman of faith. She believed in the resurrection of the dead. And I believe that she and I will appear in the resurrection at the same time, at the beginning or the end, at that point of transition between the millenniums there, the end of the sixth millennium and the beginning of the seventh millennium, when Christ returns for his millennial reign, we will be resurrected at the same time. Whether I die before that, or See, because we're not sleeping in the ground. It's just a term that's being used to say that someone is dead and to us they're sleeping. Because we're the ones who are stuck in time. People that have died and they've gone on to the resurrection. They kind of time travel. See, because God has already created the future. That's why he knows what's going to happen. God isn't back here twiddling his thumbs or fretting about, boy, I hope it turns out the way it said I said it would. He's not fretting about that at all. He's already seen it. It's already happened. He's already created it. It already exists. So we time travel. If you, my sister who died in 1985, she's already gone to the resurrection. When I die, if I die before he returns, I will go to the resurrection. If I'm here until he returns, which some people will be, because it's not that far off. It's going to happen. Some people are going to be alive. Some of his people are going to be alive when that happens. And we will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. It's kind of like an instantaneous death and resurrection. And we will be there at the same time as everyone else is all going to show up. All at the same time, from Adam and Eve to us. Okay? God has already created the future. It's already been seen by him. It already exists. What did he create in 6 days? The whole thing. The whole thing. He wasn't waiting and going, gosh, I hope it turns out the way I said it would in my book. He already knows how it turned out because it already has. The thing that will be already has been. I mean, that's my faith. That's what I see. I mean, we all understand the concepts. Even the pagans understand the concepts. I watched the movies on time travel and the series and stuff. They grasp the concept that there is some time travel. We may be limited. We may not be able to travel in time. Thank God. Because just think what the evil would do if they had that kind of capacity to time travel. There would be no end to the evil that they could do. Your name. Oh, it must be a wrong number. Okay. Get it straight. Dial the right number. Yeah. Right. So, a lot of people can't understand that. They think, oh no, time travel? I mean, that's, yeah. But if God has already created it, he's already seen the end. There are no surprises for God. That's because he has already created. Yeah. And, it's kind of beyond our capacity to understand, but we can grasp it as a concept. I can, at least. I hope I'm not delusional and not the only one who can grasp the concept here. But like I said, even the pagans out there are grasping the concepts. And we go, yeah, Jesus did that. He time traveled. I read about it in the Bible, how he, after he was crucified and resurrected, he went back and he met Adam and Eve there after they fell, and he sacrificed and clothed them with skins, and he told them about the seed of the woman. How could he do that? Well, he did it. And how about when he went back and he visited Abraham? Yeah. And who was that Melchizedek guy anyway? You know, the way they explained him, it seems like he could be none other. Yeah. So, yeah, it's in there. It's in the book. If you can open up your mind enough to accept that God really did create the whole thing in the beginning, you know, that's how he could tell us what was going to happen at the end. That seems to kick up a lot of other dust, doesn't it? You know, sometimes we just have to, you know, be like children and believe God's word. And if you want to believe that, you know, people are sleeping in the grave, until the resurrection. Well, I guess that's what it takes. Or like Sam Storms, you want to believe that they go up to an amillennial intermediate state and kind of float on the clouds with Jesus for 1,000 years or however much time we got till the second resurrection or the bodily resurrection. I don't know how he puts all that together, but I read his stuff and it still has a lot of holes in it, I'm sorry to say, as much as I may like the guy. So anyway, that's just a glimpse there, five paragraphs into what's in the exposition I'm doing on the Revelation right now. And like I said, I'm in chapter 22, still working on chapter 20. It's going to be one of the longer chapters since wherever the controversy is there, we have to spend the most time. But anyway, appreciate all your prayers on that for me. And as soon as I get that done and published, I'm going to do an audible version on the air. Okay? Yeah. So you'll get to reap the fruit of that when it's done, beginning with the very first, all the 22 books of the Book of Revelation. Anyway, we're going to go into a break here in a few minutes. Let me check the chat room. The chat room. Okay. Nobody's, no conversations here, not much. Let's see. I saw. Yeah, I guess the videos, we're still waiting, it says. YouTube, it should say. He's got a strike. He's in YouTube jail. Because it says it's still waiting for me on the YouTube channel. But I am on Facebook streaming live and on DLive. And you can see the link there in the chat room if you want to. Let me check out the chat room over there at DLive. We got a few people over there. Hopefully we'll get some more. Another follower over there at DLive. Bumblebee33 Gaming just followed. Thank you for that. Spread the word around. Let me see. Yeah. Okay. Oops, that was me just checking to make sure it's caught up. Yes, I'm actually live on DLive. So this is where I'm going to end up probably exclusively live in the future. So, yeah, maybe we ought to just switch to the chat room over there because I can't post this in my own chat room. Okay, we're coming up on that break. We're going to have a little musical interlude here, some news, and then we will have more to cover in the next hour. Don't go anywhere.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
American Family News, I'm Rusty Pugh. The southern region of the U.S. is expecting severe storm conditions today. Lead forecaster with the Storm Prediction Center, Rich Thompson, says these storms could lead to tornadoes.
A fairly serious severe weather threat developing in the southern United States. The primary focus for serious tornadoes this afternoon into tonight will be the area of northeastern Louisiana and southeastern Arkansas across central Mississippi into parts of west central and central Alabama. Potentially intense tornadoes starting sometime this afternoon and continuing into tonight. The severe weather threat will continue through the overnight hours in Alabama, which will make the situation dangerous. Again, since a lot of people will be asleep, it will not stop. It will continue Thursday morning and then ramp up again during the day across parts of Georgia and the Carolinas. Substantial severe weather threat, which will include an additional tornado threat into the day Thursday.
A new report says one of the women accusing New York Governor Andrew Cuomo of inappropriate behavior saw her credibility attacked by some of Cuomo's staffers. Marianne Rafferty reports.
Cuomo's first accuser, Lindsay Boylan, telling the New York Times his aides drafted a letter to discredit her. The letter reportedly accuses Boylan of being, quote, weaponizing a claim of sexual harassment for personal political gain or to achieve notoriety. Her lawyer fired back, saying once again a victim of sexual harassment is put in the position of not only having to relive the trauma of a toxic work environment, but defend herself against the malicious leaking of supposed personnel files, character assassinations, and a whisper campaign of retaliation.
Armed National Guard soldiers will remain on Capitol Hill for a couple of more months, raising questions about whether their presence is still needed. Rachel Sutherland reports.
Securing America.
National Guard Association Board Chair Major General Michael McGuire told Fox and Friends,
"It's time to return our guardsmen home. We believe that there is no emergent threat, and it's time to get them back to their communities."
Pentagon Press Secretary John Kirby defending the decision to leave behind around 2,300 troops, saying they will help Capitol Police perfect capabilities in a new environment. While some stay, other Guard members are going home. This week, members of the Michigan National Guard returned from their deployment to Washington. Leading up to and during the inauguration, there were at least 25,000 troops in the nation's capital. Rachel Sutherland, Fox News.
Walgreens has permanently shuttered at least 10 stores in San Francisco since the city is allowing rampant shoplifting to go unchecked. Steve Jordahl reports.
According to a city ordinance, shoplifting of less than $900 of merchandise is a misdemeanor offense. The vast vagrant population knows it and is taking advantage. This was a news report in October.
And look at this. Just 15 minutes after an Inside Edition crew showed up at the drugstore, we found this guy jumping over the front counter, taking an airbed, and leaving the store on his scooter. No questions asked, no one stopping him.
And since the pandemic began, San Francisco started buying vagrants drugs and alcohol to keep them from going out and spreading COVID. It's costing the city about $5,000 per month per tent. That's $61,000 a year for each tent. Randy Thomas, and president of SaveCalifornia.com, is disgusted but not shocked.
This is what you get when the wicked seize a city. This is what you get with Democrat rule. Sin does not exist. Personal responsibility and accountability don't exist.
He says the city needs new management.
The Democrats are doing the devil's work in San Francisco. If there were conservative Christians in charge of San Francisco, transients wouldn't be given anything but incentives to check into transformative Christian-based rehabilitation programs.
If they refuse, they would be arrested.
If San Francisco wanted to rid itself of transients that commit crime and dirty up the city, it would get hard on transients.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Get our news online at onenewsnow.com and on the One News Now mobile app. I'm Rusty Pugh.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
Thank you.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is a live prophecy reality edition. Got a few people in the chat room here. Good to see you there, Skinner, Mercury Fall, Dale, Antiquity, Jesuit Fiend, WW. And over on DLive, we got a few people listening over there or watching over there. And not much going on in the chat room there, though. So I guess I'm going to have to give up my own chat room since I'm going to be kicked off YouTube here. And since I am kicked off YouTube, I'm not there this week. I guess my jail sentence doesn't end until later today or maybe tomorrow, but it doesn't matter. I'll come back on next week, and then they'll kick me off again for 2 weeks, and then they'll kick me off forever, I reckon. I don't really care. It's not like it matters at all to me. It's a, YouTube thing. Okay. Anyway, so we're talking about the revelation, and we are in, going according to, what day is this?
Hey, is this Nicholas?
Speaking, yes, you're on the air. Who is this?
Oh, great. This is Patrick Nash in Tennessee. How are you?
Oh, doing good, Patrick. Thanks for the call. Speak
okay.
to me.
I wanted you to know that your phone works.
Yeah, it works all week, so until it gets to my broadcast. But it's working still.
I didn't know if you were aware of it, but you are broadcasting live on your YouTube channel called FirstAmendmentRadio.net live stream.
Yeah, that's audio stream only, and we do that 24/7. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Is that not a live feed that I'm listening to then?
Yeah, it is a live feed. It's a 24/7 live feed to First Amendment Radio. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So even though I can't pick it up on Prophecy Reality, I was.
Yeah, well, you can't see my face. Yeah, you can't see my face or me doing the live broadcast, but you can hear me doing it on that channel.
Right.
So,
I posted twice in that chat on that channel that F. Tupper Saucy's Rulers of Evil is also available on archive.org if
okay.
anyone wanted to find it there.
Right. Good. Yeah, if but people
comment,
can find it, even if you can't
well,
buy.
The comment disappeared twice.
Oh.
So.
Imagine that.
Posted it, and it was there for a while, and then it disappeared.
Well, I can verify that I didn't take it down, because I wouldn't
well,
do that.
I didn't have any. Go ahead.
So it must have been YouTube that took it down.
Must be.
Yeah.
I didn't have any input on the 1,000 years, but I did want you to know that it was, or let others know that things were accessible in different places.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay, all righty. Well, Godspeed.
Okay.
I'll keep listening.
All right, Patrick. Thanks so much.
Right, bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, well, there you heard it for yourself. The phone actually does work when I'm on the air, too. Yeah. Anyway, got to get a chuckle out of that. But yeah, so F. Tupper Saucy's book, all but the last chapter is very good in the book. He gets into some Cain and Abel conversation there at the end and kind of goes off the tenor of the whole rest of the book, but definitely worth a read anyway, despite the last chapters and... every American, especially every American Christian, should read that book, definitely. WW says, the main reason I don't call in is because of YouTube. YouTube and Facebook scare me too much. I don't know if I want to go there, WW, about YouTube and Facebook being scary. Yeah, I'm not sure I can relate to that. They're going to take me off, and then I'm not scared anyway. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Whether they're going to take me off or not, it doesn't really matter. Okay, now I got to remember where I was going. Yes, I have that book in my library, too. Yeah, everyone should have that book in their library. Thanks for that, Dale, in the chat room there. Okay, it's 1,000 years, and I went through that, and I hope everyone has an idea that we will inherit the earth. The Bible says that Jesus said it. He said, the meek shall inherit the earth, but then the amillennials say, no, you die and that's it. You don't inherit nothing. You inherit the new earth. But it doesn't say, Jesus didn't say the meek will inherit the new earth. He did say the earth, but which earth did he mean? Well, I believe he meant this one. We'll inherit it for 1,000 years with him. And I think it's going to be a glorious time. And you know, the best part about it is we have 1,000 years for more people to accept Christ and to come into his kingdom. We got a whole new crop, a whole new harvest to reap for 1,000 years. And why wouldn't we want that epic? Why is that unreasonable? That's about as unreasonable saying, oh, Jesus is not going to rule on the earth with crummy human beings and, you know, fatal, mortal evil in the world and stuff. Jesus is not going to do that. Well, but he came the first time and he allowed it to go on for 2,000 years. So, you know, you can't lay some rules on what Jesus would or would not allow. Just look at what he has allowed. And you should be thankful that he did allow it because you were born. And you got to accept him and to have your sins covered by his blood. Why would you want to withhold that from a whole another 1,000 years for people being born and being able to take advantage of the blood of Christ for another 1,000 years to the end of the seventh millennium? Why not? Does that bother you or something? You know, it doesn't bother me at all. I say, yeah, let's do it, man. And apparently the scripture agrees with me. The plain reading of the text in Revelation chapter 20 agrees with me. Now, I did get a comment here on my posting. I got one. Let's see, where's that at? Here it is. This guy says, yeah, let me look at that. Oh, this person, JPF, commented, and I'm going to have to comment back to him. And what would my comment be? He says, you have completely fallen down the rabbit hole of self-interpretation, just like Tom F. Well, I'm going to take that as a compliment because I like Tom F. Speaking of Tom Fress, of course. But, you know, here's the rabbit hole of self-interpretation. From the text, you know, if you look at what I actually wrote, which I just read to you on the air, it's kind of like, how dare you use the Bible to interpret the Bible and then use history to verify it? How dare you not believe dispensational futurism? Yeah, that's the rabbit hole we've gone down, people. We don't believe dispensational futurism. How dare we use the Bible to interpret the Bible? How dare we look into the text deeper, you know, to ferret out of the scripture itself, you know, the meaning of the words and the phrases and the interpretation of the Bible, and then use history to verify it in history. Yeah, how dare we do that? You know, how dare we not hang our hat on thesis and conjecture alone and believe in speculation of the future. How dare we not rely on the speculation of the professionals, you know, the scholars, that we must believe in, you know, what's her name? The prophetess, the Seventh-day Adventist prophetess of the cleansing of the temple in heaven. You know, that's the same as believing in the amillennial intermediate state or the seven-year great tribulation with its multiple choice raptures of the dispensational futures. How dare we use the Bible to understand it and verify it in history. Your name and where you're calling from. You're on the air. Just had to get your silence in there, didn't you? Well, thank you for your non-input. Yeah. Invariably, it happens during my broadcast. That's bizarre. Okay, well, it's nice to know that someone doesn't like what I'm doing here. But anyway, that's what I have to say to that comment about going down the rabbit hole, yeah, of historicism or reform prophecy interpretation. Or how about the seven-year tribulation deception, you know? Or that one there, that book there, the Horae Apocalypticae. Yeah, I've got some I'm in good company, I'll put it that way. Historically speaking, I'm in good company, I think. Okay, let me check the chat room, see if we've got any more comments, questions, anything like that. Yes, the false and wicked prophetess. Somebody put in here, Joggler66. I think he's pretty much right on with his thick accent over there. Joggler is. Even though I don't think he likes me very much, but hey, that's okay. If you're not being persecuted, you're not speaking the truth, says WW. The evil callers are a good sign. Yeah. Okay, well, no comments or questions or anything like that. Yeah, so I need an explanation for that, WW, how you fear, how YouTube and Facebook scare you too much. I'm curious about that. Okay, well, let me check the other chat room here in at DLive. Let's see, nothing going on there. That's nothing since I checked, last checked. And somebody gave, what's his top contributor, Bumble Stuff? And this ice cream, lemon, diamond. I don't understand any of that stuff. Maybe someone needs to explain it to me. Is that actual money of some sort over there at DLive? I don't know. I'm just using it to video stream. So, you know, are they going to pay that in Bitcoin or something? Yeah, maybe someone will explain it to me someday. I'll have to look it up if I get enough of it, whatever it is. I listened to David Knight in the afternoon because we rebroadcast him here on First Amendment Radio. And yes, I do listen to First Amendment Radio. You know, I have First Amendment Radio. You want to know the truth? For the most part, it's because it's what I want to hear, what I want to be edified by. And it's the kind of news reporting that I want reported to me. That's what First Amendment Radio is. See, I'm just out here, you know, broadcasting what I want to hear so that I can carry it around in my app or my Mobi page in my pocket radio. Remember pocket radios? I got my first pocket radio back about 1965. Transistor radios. It was all the rage. Those transistors, we could finally have a radio in our pocket. Can you imagine that? In the 1960s, a pocket radio came out, had those 9-volt batteries in it. Yeah, they still use those in fire alarms today. Those 9-volt batteries been around a long time, too. How many of you remember those? Yeah. Pocket radios. Okay, I better move on and find something else here. I got something else in my mailbox since nobody's, no comments or questions there in the chat room. Let's see. Oh yeah, I was going to post some things. And this, okay, people get it together here. Yes, this one. Yeah, make sure you look up that Geert Vanden Bosch. Look him up. And one way to look him up is to go is to his here. I'll put this in the chat room right now. This is the pasting the link to. Yeah, I wish I had a guy here say paste that link in the chat room, will ya? And there it is. Oh no, that's the wrong one. I don't know how that got there. Okay, we'll try that again. Okay, here it is. Oh no, that's not it. Okay, that's a link to. Here it is. I finally got it. Yes, this is what my producer is supposed to be doing for me if I had one. That's how you get famous. You have a producer, right? That must be. Oh, here's the show. This is I put the link to Monday's True News broadcast. So even if you don't like True News, you should watch this broadcast. And I think that he's turning the news over to that young guy he has there. I forget his name for the minute. But I think it's an improvement on True News that he's turned it over to that young guy. And Rick Wiles thinks he's going to go off and do something else, I guess. And maybe that'll be a good change for True News over there. But anyway, that broadcast, they discuss the Dutch vaccine expert warns of mass vaccinations will cause a global catastrophe soon. And it's all very plausible. Well, how it'll play out, well, we'll live to see that, hopefully, you know. But it could be frightening if this guy is anywhere near the truth. And I have a suspicion that he is near the truth. But see, it's always the future and unknown, and this whole Moderna thing, it's all, you know, they knew that it would kill people because it did in animal studies. And oh, this is the kind of speech that gets you banned. But they did. I mean, it's out there. You can search it for yourself. That, you know, they didn't offer it in the public as a gene therapy, because that's what it was. Because people, animals were dying in their studies. And, you know, unfortunately, that they're now doing trials, emergency trials on the population, and people are dying. And if this guy is right on how this is going to turn out, watch that True News episode, and we should be alarmed, and you should make sure that everyone you love and everyone you know watches that, and so that they're warned. So that they do have informed consent. And I believe that's why, like, what is it, 60% of even those in the military are refusing. And they have a right to refuse it. And I went to the dentist yesterday. And by the way, I did not wear a mask. I walked in there without a mask. And I left without a mask. And nobody said a word to me. Although, I believe everyone else was masked. Now, the dentists, they always wear a mask when they work on you, even before the pandemics. Pandemics. Yeah. So, but the girls out in the waiting room part, you know, the behind the desk there, they never wore a mask before, but they're all masked now. But nobody said a word to me. There were even people in the waiting room, which I didn't wait in because they took me early. I guess they're doing less business or something. I got in there a few minutes before my appointment. They took me right away. Yeah, no waiting at all. So that was nice. And then I left and I paid them, you know, brought my account up to date and all that without a mask. And I left and it was very nice. And then I rode my bicycle because I need my exercise at my age. I need all the exercise I can get. So I rode my bicycle over to grocery outlet. And I walked in there without a mask too. And I knew what I wanted and I did my shopping and walked around and I smiled at people. And I think people liked seeing a smile. So that might be a thing to do when you go out without a mask. Just smile at people. If people are so delighted to see a smile because they miss the smiles. I know I do, you know. And so I just smiled at everyone who looked at me, and they left me alone, and I walked through the whole store, and checked out my groceries and put them in the basket of my bike and rode home. And I'm going down the street and people are walking or riding their bikes with masks on and just going, there is no pandemic. Hey, dude, breathe the free air. These other people, but yeah. So that's my MO. I'm going to go out, and if they say anything, you know, I can always put a bandana on if I really need something in the store, or I can leave. But yeah, if they're not going to bother me, that makes me even happier. Gives me something to smile about. Okay, let's see. Ah, thank you, WW's putting links in there. It was Off Guardian. I see a Vanden Bosch article there. So read up on it, watch it, listen to that True News show, because you can listen to it and get all that information. The discussion is very good. Sometimes they just go off and discuss things, and I'm just going, come on, really? You're going to spend 20 minutes on that when it was worth like 4 minutes? But this one program, it was definitely worth listening to the whole, well, you know, I listen up till the last 7 or 5 or 7 minutes or something, then I can shut it off. Because, yeah, anyway, so definitely worthwhile. So I definitely want to check that out. Absolutely. Okay, let me see, what else do we got here? Checked in my mailbox. Ooh, nothing. Yeah, it's been quite a week for me. I've been very busy, and with the time change, the mornings, my mornings are, I lost an hour in my mornings until my brain and internal clock catches up with them changing the time. I thought we got rid of this daylight savings time stuff. I thought we voted it out in California. Well, the question is, why are we still hanging on to it? We need to just, you know, if they can't make up their mind, split the difference and leave it alone. You know, change the time a half hour. Just say, okay, we'll split the difference and leave it alone. Yeah, that's crazy. Just have to go through this twice a year. It's just aggravating. You know, the years just roll by. Every time I turn around, it's Wednesday again. Or, you know, what you do those weekly things, and next thing you know, there it is again. Those weeks are going by fast. It'll be no time at all before the seventh millennium is here. Just bam, bam, bam. Just like that. Okay, Operation Vax All Deplorables. Code name, Satan's Poker. I like that one, yeah. Okay, that's a headline from LouRockwell.com. That's an article I'm going to have to check out there. Next article. The U.S. reached the financial point of no return in 2004. We'd be dead by now if that were the truth, the point of no return. But maybe we'll have to consider that. Anyway, we're coming up on a break. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to Prophecy Reality. My name is Nicholas. Make sure you go to my website, crosstheborder.org or nicholasarthur.wordpress.com, and press the follow button there. Okay, I'll be back in a few minutes.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates.
If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for Missionary Radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and Schedule pages on the Internet. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We're asking you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program host, cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen. There's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty, to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, right here on firstamendmentradio.com at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of firstamendmentradio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now.
Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. It's a Prophecy Reality Edition. We come here live every Wednesday and turn on the studio cam. And we video stream on DLive and Facebook. I know I'm on a Facebook page somewhere. And usually on YouTube, except we're in YouTube jail this week. So that's the way that works. And we will likely be off YouTube given enough time and enough strikes. Strike three will be out off for good. Yes, we will be erased from YouTube. That's fine. Whatever. I like fishing in their pond while I can, but if they close their pond to me, I guess I will fish there no longer. Not much choice about that. Let me check the chat room here, see if we got any questions. Let's see. Yes. DLive's good. Audio's good. I've heard that from several Sunday worshipers. I don't know what that means. I think he changed from seventh to eighth day. And I have no idea what that conversation is around. Let's see. He changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. Oh. Yeah, whatever. Yeah, you can't change the Sabbath. It's, you know, it's there indelibly in stone on the Ten Commandments, right? You know, you can't change the Ten Commandments. I don't want to change history anyway. I have to live in the present, so not much concerned with living in the past. Okay, well, let's see. Tell all your friends about firstamendmentradio.net. We have an app called Prophecy Reality App for your Android products out there. And I use that to listen to when I'm out working on the ranch and, you know, around town on my bicycle. I listen to the Prophecy Reality News app on my stupid phone device here, the Android. For your iPhone or other device, you know, the one that's tracking your every move. They have COVID tracking on your iDevice, but your Apple device. But I don't have it in their store, but you can go to firstamendmentradio.net/MOBI, and we have a web-based app there for you in the form of a web page. So everything is available. You can listen there too. So make sure you take advantage of that and tell your friends. Post the, you know, whatever on your Facebook, social media, whatever you got, Gab, all those things out there, Parler, all that stuff that I don't have time for. repost the articles, the posts and things on all that stuff. Share with your friends. You can also email your entire email list. And yeah, definitely send them that Monday True News show to everyone in your email list. I think it's important enough to do that. Not trying to promote True News or anything, as they're not really my favorite. My favorite would be David Knight. As far as a news program, a daily news program, it does get a little long, over 3 hours at times. I think he needs to try to scale it down and maybe root out some of the repetition, because a lot of stuff is very repetitious. But yeah, that's probably where being on band.video helped him out to kind of pare down some of the content. A little more discipline would not be a bad thing for him. But regardless, hold on a second. Yeah.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You will notice that there are few commercials on this radio network. There's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our several affiliates. If you benefit by the educational law programs, we ask you to give. If you are admonished or nurtured by the Bible and ministry programs, we ask you to give. If some voice a cause that you are passionate about, we ask you to give. If you believe in any of these, we ask you to support them as you would a missionary on a continual basis, as if giving a tithe for missionary radio. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs at our Listen and